both of these men are egotistical maniacs. Everybody knows that.
For my mom at the time.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to The Writer and the Fighter. I'm your co-host David Golden from OregonSportsNews.com, joined by my co-host Jake the Half Black Attack Smith from Bellator MMA and the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
What's up, dude?
What's up, man? It's football Sunday. That's
sure
what's
is.
Up. Yeah, you know, I had to start off the day right. Got some donuts, made some coffee, some shitty coffee. Hated it.
That'll happen.
Yeah, but the donuts were okay. So now I'm drinking an energy drink. So I'm pretty hyped up right now, you know?
Yeah, that's good. I got up. I didn't eat anything for breakfast. I had some iced tea.
Yeah.
And then I was like, fuck it. It's my birthday. I'm going to go to Taco Bell.
Oh, it's your birthday?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, dude. Oh, shit.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry, man. I didn't know. I would have like brought donuts here.
That's cool, man. You know, when you get to a certain age, you just stop celebrating your birthday, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, it's just another day.
I kind of respect that you didn't make a thing about it, but you know. Hey, how old are you?
My wife's not here. I don't know. 37?
My wife's not
37.
Here.
That's one good thing about getting married, man. You can just ask your wife how old you are and she'll know.
I never remember.
37.
I've been like having a problem remembering my age too. I keep telling myself in my head I'm 28. I'm like, I'm not 28 yet. I don't know why I keep saying I'm 28.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I get it.
You feel old because of the hip.
Yeah. That. Yeah. Anyways, so we had some fights.
Yeah, we did have fights. We had some fucking killer fights, actually. Last night was Bellator 206.
Yep.
This was the first fight card they had on DAZN. DAZN, DAZN.
You're in the zone.
In the zone. It's kind of exciting. Yeah. Not really. I don't know. Yeah. I still don't know if I can really get behind this DAZN thing for... I don't know, man.
I get it. Yeah, I mean, they're doing just what everyone else is doing. You know?
Yeah.
You got ESPN Plus. You have UFC, I think, Plus.
Well, Fight Pass.
Fight Pass. Like, you know, it's everyone's going into like an app kind of streaming service. I think slowly the days of cable and stuff are going to fade out.
Yeah, I guess so. And I mean, I'm fine with cable going away, but still, it's just... I don't know, man. It's another $10.
Exactly, yeah. Like, that's the issue.
You know, I just can't justify throwing another $10 a month at something else. You know, it's just too much.
Yeah.
It's too much. But whatever. ESPN Plus is apparently doing like super good.
Really?
They have way more subscribers than people ever thought.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm shocked. I didn't think it would be that big of a deal, but people seem to like it, so whatever. But
yeah.
UFC Bellator 206 was on DAZN, and it was a monster card, tons of fights, but really it was the main card that people were hype about, because you had a champion versus champion fight in Gegard Mousasi and Rory McDonald. You had the throwback old man, old school fight fan fight in Quentin Rampage Jackson versus Vanderlei Silva. I'm pretty sure that's how it was billed. You know,
pretty much.
However, I just said old man.
They're just like,
guy.
You know, you want to see a couple old people go out there and possibly kill each other? Hey, here you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
that's the only thing I was thinking about the whole time. Like, one of them might really die in the ring tonight.
Yeah. Right.
Like, there is that possibility.
And they were both like, there's dad bod Vitor. And then there's like, Rampage just ain't fighting bod, and goddamn, man, Rampage is big. Like,
yeah,
like when you got here, I was like, you know, man, if you gave me 6 months, I could be in better shape than Rampage.
You know, but that's the thing. Like, even though Rampage is big, like you look at his body, there's still muscle.
Oh no,
you know what I mean?
He's strong and he always
he's
will
thick.
Be. Yeah,
it's not like I didn't think he was like a like a fat. You know, he wasn't. You know, he didn't look like Eric Silva when he after you like the very first USADA. You know, what
no,
I'm saying?
No, he didn't. But he did have some like titty definition.
Yeah,
and you know, Vanderlei looked like a dude who was in good shape like when he was younger, and then just got old.
Yeah,
and then he threw on a pair of shorts and was like headed out to the beach. That's what he looked like.
Yeah, he looks like an old like. Like, you know, like an old guy you run into like in Miami who's sitting
right?
at the pool on
exactly.
vacation. Right?
Exactly.
He's like,
no, that's exactly it. Cause he definitely, he's definitely like he's got that like just light skinned enough where like you're like when you say he's Brazilian, you think is he really Brazilian?
Yeah, he has a little bit enough in there to go, okay, there's a little color there, but like he's a little light.
Yeah.
You know, maybe even has a you know, a farmer's tan.
Yeah, a little bit.
He just kind of
Like if you told me he was a Russian guy, I would believe it.
Okay. I can see that. Yeah.
Anyway, so you had that fight. Then you had former champion versus champion fight with Douglas Lima and Andrei Koroshkov. And that was the start of the 170-pound Grand Prix. So that was kind of fun. And you had super prospect Aaron Pico taking on Leandro Higo. And Higo. I didn't even really think about how close their names were. Like during the call of the fight, I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. But yeah, the, I mean, so that was the main card. You also had Kerry Melendez on this card. You had Gaston Bolanos. Is that how you say his last name?
Yeah, yeah, Dream Killer or something.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I think actually at one point, Sunshine was talking a bunch of smack to that.
Yeah,
guy.
No, he did again. Yeah, yeah, he's still calling him out. He wants to fight him. And then he also had Piccolotti was on there. He fought a tough guy, something Terry or Terry something. I don't know.
James Terry.
That's what it is. It was a good fight. That was a good one to watch. Piccolotti's striking has improved a lot.
It was a catchweight, 160 pounds.
Yeah, I don't know what that is about. I don't know if that was just like a short notice thing or someone missed weight or what. I don't know. I didn't even know Adam Piccolotti was fighting on this card until I watched it. So.
Well, there was also on this card, we won't talk about it because I don't think either of us watched it. I mean, maybe you did. I didn't. There was a lady fight, a women's featherweight fight that ended via slam and punches.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was it good?
Was like, I mean.
Was it a good slam? Like, would you call it a slam and punches? Or would you just call it a win by ground and pound?
Yeah, I mean, she had that in order to get out of the lady was like trying to armbar her, so she kind of just picked her up and slammed her. I mean, it wasn't like a rampage, like oh, she lifted her and slammed her.
It was,
but
like,
it was a good one. It just the chick kind of hit her head a little bit and then just kind of fetaled up, and homegirl just pounded on her.
Nice, so,
yeah, it's a good one. It was a good scrap actually. That the girl that won, she had some crisp boxing, and she was hitting the hell out of this chick. Real tall, both Australian, I believe. So it was Aussie versus Aussie.
Oi, oi, oi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it was Arlene Bianco?
Blanco?
It looks like Bianco. No? Blenco.
Arlene and some other lady. That's, I mean.
Blenkow? You're on your own. Blenkowy?
I gave you an out. You're going with it, so.
Yeah, I'm digging deeper in.
I just like calling her Arlene B.
Arlene B.
All right.
Yeah, there you go. She's like a Spice Girl.
And who's the other girl?
That was Amber Liebrock.
Yeah, Amber got beat up.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen. Fist fights, you know. What are you going to do?
Yeah, man.
Well, let's dive in. Let's talk about that Aaron Pico fight.
Okay, let's do that one. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, everyone's like, Aaron Pico, that's why we call him the LeBron James of MMA. Which, I mean...
Who said that?
That's what a lot of Bellator... Like, that's Bellator's gimmick right now.
He's the LeBron ridiculous.
James of MMA.
That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, I get what they're trying to say, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of like, you know, when LeBron James first came to NBA and... You know, there's a hype. I think that's what they're trying to compare it to. Mm-hmm. It's not comparing it as like, oh, he's accomplished all. No, no.
Yeah, yeah.
I think they're saying it's just, you know.
I get it. But also, when LeBron James came into the league, he's playing against teams full of killers every night. Like, yeah. I mean, you can't really compare basketball to MMA. The math does not add up. Yeah. That's the dumbest shit I've ever heard.
And, you know, fuck, man. That was a good fight. Obviously you watched.
Yeah, no, it was a good fight. I think it was a good fight for Pico in a number of ways.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, so Pico gets the win, stoppage, TKO.
Mm-hmm.
But he went in there against a legit veteran who's he's fought for a title. You know, he fought Eduardo Dantas to a split decision. Like you're not a joke if you've done that. You know what I mean?
Like this guy's good. But I will say, I wish it was a natural 145er he was fighting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is something we, I mean, size does matter, as we saw in the main event, which we'll get mm-hmm. to. And, you know, I think that has, I mean, you got to look at, Pico got tagged a couple times, right? Flush.
He did. Yeah.
Flush. Now, imagine if that was an actual 145er to 155. Like, someone as big as Pico, and you got caught that clean with that straight right, or, you know, a couple knees.
Yeah.
He's going to be a little bit more fucked up. Now, when you get hit by 135er, I mean, you know, you're it's...
Yeah, it's not, a little
it's
bit
just,
different.
It's not the same.
I think you're right, and I believe that in the matchmaking process, they were trying to protect Pico a little bit.
Of course, and they want to give someone who has experience in fights where it's going to look really good when he beats this guy.
Yeah, well, and not only... I don't think it's just that they wanted to look good when he wins. I think they want to make a matchup that makes sense for him a little bit.
Of course,
because... Yeah. I mean, I get what they're doing, and I think Pico is more realistic about the way he's going to progress, because when you mm-hmm. hear him after fights, he says, you know, give me 3 years and I'm going to be really, really good. You know, he's not completely delusional when you consider the hype that people have been giving him his whole life.
I think he's buying into it now.
Maybe a little bit, but still.
Yeah, no, I think he's legit. Don't get me wrong. You go to my tweets, whatever. I have said Aaron Pico is fucking, he's good. I said it before any of these big fights. Like, this guy is the real deal. He's going to be fucking good.
Yeah.
But now, you know what, that quote that he had, it says, in 3 to 4 years, no one will touch me, right? That's what he says.
Yeah, yeah.
3 to 4 years, no one will touch me. That shows to me, like, okay, now you're buying a little too much into your hype. In my eyes, that's what I think. I think he's going, like, I'm untouchable. Because he went, you know, started yelling at Patricky. He's like, your time will come. Your time will come. And.
Yeah, well, he's got to sell things too, but I think he's...
No, I get it, and I'm right there with you.
Yeah,
you know?
I think he's smart though. He doesn't seem like one of these guys that just wants to get in there mm-hmm. and, you know, have three fights and then fight for a title. You know, I think he realizes that doesn't make sense for him.
He's calling for it.
Well, no, sure. I mean, you have to, right? But
now there's going to be a logjam too, though, because his teammate is also. Should be getting a title shot next.
Yeah, I think they're gonna have him fight probably three more times before they really consider giving him a title shot.
Yeah, I think AJ gets the shot first.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes sense that AJ would get the shot first, you know.
He's 12-0.
Yeah, and he's you know, he's proven himself a little bit more against stiffer competition.
Man, I would love to see their sparring sessions.
Yeah.
Who do you think wins on that? Who do you think is the better of the two? If you had to guess,
It's tough because I think AJ is probably faster than Pico. So I guess it depends. Maybe it depends on the day and it depends on where they're sparring. Like, are you in a small cage? Because if you're in a small cage and Pico can cut you off, I think Pico has power on McKee.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's big room and you can move around. I could see McKee having the speed to get away from him and maybe counter strike on him a little bit because Pico's hittable. I mean, there's no question
definitely.
About it.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's got, you know, he does have the knockout loss, but like he's letting it be known that he has a little bit of a chin at least. I mean, in this one because he got clocked flush
exactly, yeah. And he had a couple hard knees
and he didn't seem fazed at all.
Yeah.
But he's young. Let's wait and see what happens when he gets like really, really knocked out, you know, if he does, because you never know what happens after that. Right. Like
if you get, or
say he's in a war of a fight and he just doesn't see a kick coming and it puts him down. I mean, that could change the game for him forever. Yeah. You never know.
Fucking for anyone. Shit. If I had to guess, I would lean more towards AJ just because I feel like, I think AJ is better at the in between, like not where it's just okay. We're boxing right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're wrestling. It's I'm boxing, kicking. Oh, look at that takedown that came out of nowhere into this scramble. You know what I mean? Like the piecing it together. I mean, we also haven't seen Aaron Pico try anything else besides box. So it's hard to, you know. I'm not in the room. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I'm just, you know, if I had to pick a thing, because you know AJ throw kicks.
Yeah.
Throws kicks. P- Pico doesn't.
Pico doesn't throw kicks.
And he wrestles.
Yeah, but I'm always surprised that he doesn't try to mix up the striking and wrestling just to kind of more.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, I get it. Like, you've been boxing since you were a kid. I totally get it. You know, I do. And
it's just more fun.
Maybe. I will say one thing he does that blows me away that you see a lot of young fighters not do is he never just throws one punch.
Oh, combos.
He always throws at least two punches.
Yeah.
And that's good. And he goes to the body. He goes to the body a lot.
Yeah, relentlessly.
It's becoming a little predictable. Like, because it's always left hook to the body. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what he goes for every time, you know. So, guys are going to see that on tape. And when they get up against the cage, they're going to know he's going to try to throw a left hook to their body. Mm-hmm. But maybe Pico's just smart enough that he'll go to the right side. Or maybe he'll go for an uppercut. Who knows, you know. Yeah. It remains to be seen. What I did notice in this fight, and I hadn't noticed before, he's a little bit bow-legged. It's kind of weird.
Okay. I
mean, that might affect things, you know, in terms of how he gets kicked or whatever. Yeah. I thought it was weird. He was walking out like, is he a little bit bow-legged? Weird.
Yeah. A few people are like Dave Jansen's like that.
And so I just thought that was kind of interesting. Yeah. I don't know if that's going to play a factor later on in his career or not, but we'll see.
Yeah. He's definitely an interesting guy. I mean, you know, fuck man, His career's, you know, sky's the limit. I mean, he was an alternate for the Olympic team his senior year of high school.
Yeah.
You know, he was a Golden Gloves champ, you know, multiple time state champ and wrestler. And he's just an athlete. Like, he is bred to do what he's doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and fuck, man, more and more of those guys are coming into fighting. And it's just, this is like, I feel like he is the very, okay, so I feel like Rory McDonald was the first of that kind of like, started with MMA, kind of had this whole thing and, you know, progressed into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, Pico is I think is that next generation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And I think Pico is more true in terms of lifelong mixed martial arts, right?
Exactly.
Because Rory McDonald got into it at 14 and then went pro at 16.
Yeah.
Aaron Pico was wrestling at 4 years old and boxing before he was 10.
Yeah.
That is the difference between Rory McDonald and Aaron Pico, right? And at that age, mixed martial arts was already a thing, you know. When he was a little kid, mixed martial arts was already there. Mm-hmm. And for Rory, his dad was showing him UFC fights when he was a teenager, and that's a big difference. I mean, I know it doesn't sound like a lot, and when you think about, you know, you think about people who play in the NFL, right? Mm-hmm. You hear it all the time, like, oh, he didn't play football until he got to high school.
Yeah.
And then next thing you know, he's just this superstar. Well, I mean, that can happen for sure.
Yeah, I mean, but there's going to be those outliers out there for sure.
Yeah, for sure. But like, there are kids who they come into play football and they become a quarterback like their senior year of high school, and the next thing you know, they're in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that's, well, Ben Roethlisberger, that's what he was.
That's who I was thinking of. Yeah, and so Ben Roethlisberger, right? Yeah. But when you think about him, and then you think about Peyton Manning, who was playing quarterback from the time he was, you know, as soon as he could throw a football, like, he obviously you're going to consider like Peyton Manning the more talented prospect coming in.
Yep.
You know, so
yeah,
it's crazy, man. It's crazy to
it's
think.
It's gonna be interesting to watch, and I can't wait to not be fighting when that happens,
right?
So, like, because like, that's the thing, man. It's, you know, Pico's 22 now, right?
Yep.
Like, we're gonna be seeing these guys at a young age. We're gonna see a Mike Tyson. You know, I fucking hate that comparison when there's MMA guys. He's the Mike Tyson. But when I say the Mike Tyson, I mean someone who is 19 that's going to win a world championship. Mm-hmm. And that is going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah, you
know? Yeah. I mean, fuck, man.
Or maybe the next Mike Tyson goes and saves boxing.
No.
That'd be kind of interesting.
I don't think boxing is going to die out, but I think if people are going to take a path for like combat sports, I think MMA is going to overshadow boxing now.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's going that way. I mean, HBO just announced they're done with fights, which is insane. Like, that's so crazy.
Well, I mean, is HBO, is that primarily just the States, or is that kind of like a, like, I know they have like HBO, like in Espanol and then Latino, whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cause the reason why I asked is cause like, I mean, look who's dominating in boxing. It's not Americans. It's everyone else, right?
Hasn't been for a long time.
Yes, the Europeans. And then this is where the zone comes in. is they're starting to make these deals with these boxing promotions and stuff. Like Anthony Joshua, I can't remember his name. Anyways, boxers, right?
Yeah.
European English boxers. All their fights are pretty much coming on to the DAZN. And, you know, I think that has a little bit to do with it. I think they're starting to, they're marketing, you know, they're taking over this corner of combat sports in my eyes. I think they're primarily taking over boxing.
Well, that's interesting, man. I mean, it'll be interesting to see exactly what happens. But for Aaron Pico, he looked like the real deal last night.
And he looked
landed great combinations, yeah. Took a couple good shots.
He looks like the future.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he finished strong. John McCarthy was not pleased with the stoppage in the fight. Yeah. I didn't think it was terrible. Although when Higo gets up and then just falls over, mm-hmm. when he's standing up, you really didn't need to have Pico come in and throw one more punch. You could have just said, nope, we're done. Yeah. You know, guy can't even stand up. Let's call it. But right. I didn't think it was as egregious as Big John thought.
Yeah, I don't think it was the worst stoppage. But yeah, I there was times where like if you would have called it, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I wouldn't have, you know.
No, exactly. I mean, it wasn't like a Mario Yamasaki fight or like a Steve Mazzagatti fight, you know?
Do you know what fight I thought got stopped a little early?
Rampage Vandalay?
I did, yeah.
I know. Yeah. I did too,
a little bit. I was kind of like, you know, which I'm surprised that Beltran stopped it early. Like, I mean, yeah, Vandalay was curling up, but these are these two guys where you can let them go till they're literally unconscious and everyone will be okay with it. They'll be okay with it too. Yeah. Like, I don't think, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
That was the fight where if someone died, no one would be mad at the ref. You know what I mean?
They'd be like, he was 42. He had a heart condition.
It looked like he was ready to die anytime.
They're like, don't worry about it. Rampage smokes 3 packs a day. He'll be okay. Yeah, yeah. Because his family knew this was the risk.
Right, yeah.
Whatever. You know. But who do you think Aaron Pico fights next? What do you think they do with him?
Shit, man. That's, I don't know. It's a tough one to say because, you know, it's 145, right? Obviously, I feel like they have to give him someone who's around that top 10.
That's got to be like a top 10 guy.
Like a Pat Curran or...
That'd be a tough first fight back for Pat Curran.
Fuck, I mean, you know, he was supposed to fight AJ, then he dropped out of that. So, like, what's next? Because AJ's obviously going to go and fight for the winner of Patryki and... I don't even know who he's fighting. He's fighting some dude in some other country.
Yeah. It's hard to say for sure who would be the best. I mean, he definitely has to fight... he has to fight someone good, but you don't want to put him in there. You don't want to put him in there against one of the Pitbull brothers now, I don't think, because you expect that to be a marquee matchup later, right?
You're talking about Pico?
Yeah.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm pretty positive they said AJ's getting the next title shot.
Yeah, AJ's getting the next title shot, but but he could fight.
You're saying go up to 155?
Sure. Why not? I mean, he's big.
Yeah, I mean,
he's big, you know, or have a catchweight fight.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like, between either of the Pitbull brothers, he could fight either one.
Yeah.
You know, I think they're gonna likely protect him and
not do that. I don't think that's coming anytime soon.
You know, I mean, it's hard to say. I mean, you could have him fight a guy like Daniel Strauss. Would be a good fight. You know, he's a former champion.
Yeah.
He
smokes, so that's cool. Beat up another smoker.
There you go. He's got, you know, he's got a couple really good fights. I mean, he's on a 3-fight win streak after losing his title to the Lil Pitbull.
I can see him fight Justin Lawrence.
Yeah, Justin Lawrence, or maybe a guy like, what's the German kid?
It's not Wichel.
No, yes, Daniel Wichel.
Wichel.
Yeah, that would be a good fight. I mean, Wichel obviously is like super experienced. I think he has close to 50 fights.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're talking about having him fight somebody really good or maybe...
That's a good fight for Pico too because Wichel's been he's been knocked out a few times and that's what they want to keep doing is feeding guys to Pico to build up his fucking highlight reel.
Yeah, for sure. Or I don't know if he still fights at 145 or if he still fights for the promotion, but like Georgi Karahanian.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, you know, that would be a fight. I think he I think he went off and fought for the ACB when he last fought, but he has, I mean, he has some good wins in Bellator. Or, oh, you know what would be a really good fight?
What?
A winnable fight for him, but might be like a good test of his skills is Claxton. Against someone weird. What's his name? Oh, I'm blanking on his name. You know what? It might be the wrong weight class. I take it all back. I take it all back.
Is he a wrestler?
No. He's Tito Ortiz's boy. He's the weird one. Emmanuel something.
Oh, Emmanuel Sanchez?
No.
Oh, that's who's fighting Pitbull next. Yeah, so, okay, so this is what's happening. Emmanuel Sanchez is fighting Pitbull, right? And then yes. AJ gets the winner of that. So let's say that Pico gets the loser.
Yeah, there you go.
Boom.
That'd be good.
Yeah.
Get the loser.
And then we make this weird ass controversy. It's like, oh yeah, the AJ was throwing some shade at fucking Pico. It never happened, right? But we're gonna make it up.
Yeah.
And then Pico's gonna throw more shade at AJ and his dad. So then it becomes this weird, like, oh shit, now he's talking about his trainer too.
Family rivalry.
That's how you get a storyline going.
Oh, and speaking of his trainer, did you see Freddie Roach in his corner? What? That's crazy.
Yeah, did you hear the interview with him before?
No, I try to avoid all Freddie Roach interviews.
I feel like he did a lot better. Like he was actually able to get his words out that he wanted. I mean, you know, it's still, he wasn't as like, you know, as bad as he has been. So I don't know if he's been like smoking weed or what, but I think there's something where I feel like he's made a little progress.
I hope so, man. It bums me out when I watch his interviews. It, yeah. Like,
but he was talking about Pico when he had Pico for Cotto's camp. And he was like, yeah, we'd throw him in there and he would go toe-to-toe with him and hold his own. He's like, Pico, he goes, what's the boxing shows, like the Contender Series? Is that what it's called? Is he's like, you know, if this was at Pico's weight, he's like, I feel like Pico would win it.
That's crazy.
Even just boxing. So he's that good of a boxer. He's that great of a wrestler. And now he's going in there and just fucking people up.
Yeah.
It's a specimen, man.
Yeah. Interesting.
If I was Pico, you know what I'd be doing? I'd be jerking off into cylinders and selling my semen for fucking crazy amounts of money.
Just
like,
have him
do you
be
want
a,
your kid to be a
stuff.
First round draft pick? $25,000 a load.
Maybe that'll happen down the road.
And you know what? It'd be even better because guess what? He's not going to have a dad. Boom. Your kid is for sure getting drafted. Single mom raising a fucking stud athlete? Yeah. Please sign me up for that. Like, I'd be shooting off fucking loads left and right. But talking to my management, like, package this shit up. Let's get it out there. Dude, Pico, call me up, man.
Marketing 101. There you go.
I got a plan for you.
Moving on. We also had the start to the welterweight Grand Prix. We had Douglas Lima going against Andrei Korshkov for their rubber match, their third fight. This fight was all right.
I thought it was good. I mean, you know, here's the thing, man. I don't think people realize this is what happens when you get your top five guys and they're these killers, right? They look like these, they're fucking savages. They have these highlights. They're knocking people out and da 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 da. Okay, yeah, that's a top five guy versus a top 15 guy. He's going to open up a little bit more. Now, when you get a top, you know, your number three and number two, when they're fighting, get ready for a snooze fest, right? Be patient and just enjoy the fucking technicality of it because that's what you're going to get with these fights. And that's the thing I don't think fucking casual fans or even some of the hardcore fans get. A lot of the hardcore fans will shit on a fight and be like, oh, this isn't what da da da, because they buy into the whole highlight reel and the fucking hype. And enjoy the fucking fight, man. Just watch it. Like, these guys are going out there and it's fucking scary. Like, try next time you guys watch a fight, I want you, as the fighter's watching it, walking out, picture yourself in his shoes. Imagine making that walk, taking off your shirt, you're breathing. A guy is coming in and put Vaseline on your face. Your music's playing. You can barely even hear it. You hear people in the crowd yelling stupid shit, trying to touch you, trying to distract you, you know what I mean? Then you get in the cage, and then you feel this fucking rough canvas on you, and then you're standing there. And then now you got to listen to your opponent's music as he's coming out. You know, he's getting hyped up. You're seeing him make that walk. He has this fucking look on his face like, oh, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to kill this guy. And you got to still be composed. You got to be, you know, mindful of your coaches because they're still talking to you, trying to keep you focused, talking about the game plan and all this shit. and you're seeing the guy enter the cage. Like, I don't think people realize how much of a fucking mindfuck that is before you go and fight someone. And then you're standing across from someone who's been practicing and training to fight you for 8 weeks, looking at your weaknesses. You know he knows your weaknesses and your strengths. You know his weaknesses and his strengths. It's not like a normal fight where it's just, oh, fuck you, fuck you. No, you have time to build this up. Mm-hmm. And now it's here, and you want me to go out there and just start throwing punches at each other and swinging it? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah, no, I get anxious just dude, going to the grocery store,
it's
man.
So
I don't
hard
I want to go fight yeah. somebody in a cage on
it's
TV.
It's hard for me to watch fights sometimes because I start gaining the fucking anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I start remembering, I'm like, fuck. And I have to like remind myself, I'm okay. I'm not fighting right now. It's cool. Mm-hmm. You know, it's going to be fine. Like, you know what I mean? Like I said, man, it's a mind fuck. So, yeah. Like I said, man, like I go back to Ngannou fucking, you know, Derek Lewis. That's why I appreciate that fight. That's why I appreciate this fight.
Yeah.
I get it.
I didn't hate this fight. I just, yeah.
I know you don't, because that's why I'm here with you, because I respect you.
Thanks. I didn't realize it was going to be 5 rounds, which I, you know, like.
But that did answer our question, remember?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That did answer our question. So yeah. They're just going to be 5-round fights. And then they mentioned during the fight that since they're fighting 5 rounds, they can't legally allow them to fight a 6th round should it be a draw. And so what they're going to do at that point is they're going to go to the judges, each judge individually, and ask them to pick a winner. And so then it'll be on the judges to say, like, not pick a winner, but pick who would advance. Like, who would you pick to move on?
Yeah, did you kind of try to do it like the old school Japanese way? And
yeah, basically.
Score it all in a hole?
Yeah, exactly. And
I feel like there should be open scoring for that then.
Well, but it's not. But they can't allow them to give a score beyond their scorecard that they've already given.
Yeah, I know.
So then they have to say, well, if you had to pick someone to advance, who would you pick? And you know, at that point, it's kind of weird, right? Because mm-hmm. maybe that judge knows one of those fighters, and then it's just favoritism. Who knows? But you know, whatever.
I mean, if they scored a draw, I mean,
yeah. But
the likelihood of that happening is it's very, very unlikely.
Yeah, I think it's slim, especially in a 5-round fight. You don't see it as mm-hmm. as often, so it'd be all right. But this fight, there was a couple things that kind of bothered me. Just where when they would get up against the cage, and it would be Koreshkov having Lima pinned against the cage.
Yeah,
and he didn't seem. I mean, he was going for takedowns, right? But not able to get them. He didn't seem like he was willing to change his game plan at all through like 3.5 rounds. And at that point, I felt like it was very clear that he was going to lose the fight.
Yeah, it started to get away from him. I think isn't that what Rory did to DeLima? Basically, it was like kind of just hold him against the cage
mm-hmm.
a little bit. I think that's, you know.
Well, that's kind of what you have to do because of Lima's kicks.
Fucking kicks, man.
His kicks are brutal.
Yeah. Anytime he switched back to his unorthodox stance, whap.
Yeah.
Go right back. Yeah.
No. And his left shin was uh-huh. so swollen
yeah.
that at one point you could see his right leg and yeah. they did not look at yeah. all like the
he
same
like
size.
He looked like he was getting a hematoma just like.
Yeah. No, he was. Yeah. But it was like from his ankle all the way to the top of his shin. It was insane.
Fucked up, man.
Yeah. It looked terrible. And he didn't even land that many kicks.
No. He only hit it like 4 times, I think.
Probably more, but still. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't like a Jose Aldo, mm-hmm. Uriah Faber yeah. kind of night. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was, I mean, it was a good fight for Lima. I think he showed that he's grown more than Koreshkov has.
Yeah.
He's adapted his game better because he stopped some takedown attempts.
Mm-hmm.
There was one point, I want to say it was the 4th round, Koreshkov, fakes a right hand and comes inside for a double leg, and he got in deep on him, and they were nowhere near the cage, and Lima it wasn't even like he sprawled, he just pushed his hips forward, and Koreshkov's hands just slid right up his butt over his waist, and they went against the cage, and all I could think was you can shake off that takedown basically with little to no assistance from your hands, and then you have the cages in behind you. That's crazy.
I wonder if Koreshkov maybe blew a little bit of his load there in the first 2 rounds, because
maybe
when he had him against the kid, he had him like in a high crotch thing, and he was like mm-hmm. trying to just lift. And
yeah, he
was
losing
a lot of strength, and you know, trying to pin someone down, and he He was also fighting Southpaw a lot. Like, he came out Southpaw.
Intentionally, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so that was, I think that was a little weird, right?
Well, I mean, it definitely took Lima a round and a half to adjust to that, it seemed like.
Yeah.
And then at that point, he was landing, you know, mm-hmm. he was landing cleaner shots. There was a couple times when Korshkov went for spinning attacks.
Yeah.
Right out of the gate early, he hit him with a spinning kick and knocked him back against the cage. And then it was at the end of the second or third round, he threw a spinning, like a cartwheel kick. And it almost, I mean, if it landed, good night, you know, but then he stopped doing them. I mean, that's a lot of energy. Yeah. But if one almost takes the dude's head off and the other one knocks him all the way back and you're having no success anywhere else, mm-hmm. like, try it, man. I mean, you got to do something. I don't know what his corner was telling him, but if you have Alexander Shlemenko in your corner, I imagine he's saying, throw spinning shit. You know, like, that's his thing.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought, you know, it was a good form. I mean, we got Lima choked him out right in the fifth.
Yeah, in the fifth, so. he knocked him down, got on top of him. Mm-hmm. He had a choke sunk in before he had both hooks in.
Yeah.
He had one hook in, had his arm already under his chin, and by the time he got the second leg and he turned him over and the choke was already in.
Yeah.
And that was tight.
Deep.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it looked like it hurt. It must have hurt his neck too.
Yeah, there was no chin. It was 100% all neck. Like, it was picture perfect. How to have a rear naked choke on someone.
Hand behind the head. Like, nothing.
There's nothing you could do.
No.
You're dead, sir.
And you know, some people hate it when you say this, but props to him. You know, he decided to go out without tapping, you know.
Why do people hate that?
Some people hate it because why not tap? You know, it's over.
Why? Because what if the chance is that his arms get tired? I'm serious. Like, there's time. Like, I remember a fight specifically. It was me versus John Garcia, right? FCFF. And I was winning the fight. And then the fourth round, I don't know how. Somehow he got my back. I was on top of him. Somehow he got my back. And he put it in a choke. And he has a rear naked choke on me, and I'm fighting it, and like, it's tight. Like, I'm like, in my mind, I went, oh, I'm done, it's over. And then he let go of the choke, and I was able to spin out of it. And from there, I was like, like, I remember standing over him going, like, catching my breath as he was laying on the back because he was tired. That's what it was the fourth out of five rounds, and his arms blew out, and he couldn't keep the choke. So
yeah,
that's my, and also, you know, it's the whole, like, you know, never surrender, never, you know,
it's
what
I mean? Pride thing.
Yeah, like, burn the boats.
Some people tap. I feel like you should tap to, like, locks.
Yes.
And you don't necessarily have to tap to chokes.
Exactly. I'm with you with that. Yeah. Like, I think there's no shame in it.
No.
You know, I mean, if you tap to a choke, I mean, hey, whatever. No,
if you know you're not getting out, or if it's one where it just hurts, mm-hmm. like if they're like crushing they're just crushing you, and it's not even like, it's not closing off blood to your brain. It's just full on, just like an arm in your throat and it hurts. Go ahead, tap, dude. It hurts. Yeah.
You don't need to fucking crush your windpipe.
But if you can just feel like you're breathing, but for some reason things are getting black and you can't, and you're feeling dizzy and you're like, what's happening? This is weird.
It's an interesting feeling. You know, then it's weird waking up too in the cage.
Yeah, right? It's the weirdest.
Yeah.
And then, but watching Korshkov, he's there, he's got his hand up. He's not like even considering tapping. You just see his arm kind of swing down.
Yeah.
And the ref's like, oh, he's out.
It's,
you know what?
It's weird, man.
Yeah.
I've only been choked unconscious once in a fight. I've only been finished in a fight once, and, you know, waking up with the ref standing over you and you're fucking choking on your mouthpiece because he's an idiot and didn't take it out of your mouth. And then you're like, you're looking around like, what the fuck? And then you got to remember, and you hear all the people, you're like, ah, fuck, that's right. You know, and then everyone's like, no, stay down, you know, and you got to jump up like, get the fuck off me, I'm fine, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
It's one of those things. It's weird.
Yeah. It's definitely weird. One thing in this fight that I thought was interesting was that Korshkov, you know, you're so used to seeing him be the bigger guy, and you forget how big Douglas Lima is.
Do you see? Have you seen? Okay, Lima's brother is even bigger. Like, was it New York? They had the same warm up area, and I was in there, and they both came in, and they're fucking giants.
Yeah, they're not little.
Jesus, and this motherfucker's got to make 170.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about I'm talking about Lima. Lima's big, and his brother's even bigger. But, like, when you look at him, because they seem like lanky guys, you mm-hmm. know? They don't seem like, but no.
Mm-mm. No. They're fucking big.
Solid.
Big boys. How bad must it suck to be Diego Lima? Your brother's, like, way better looking than you, and, like, also a way better fighter than you. Like,
yeah.
You know? Man.
I mean, put
like Diego Lima really got the short end of the stick, man. His nose is fucked.
Yeah, that's
like you're born with a pretty busted nose, and then you go and you become a fighter and you get your nose broken a few times and it looks even more weird. Like, I feel like you could equate his nose to a wrestler with a really bad cauliflower ear.
His cauliflower nose.
He's got cauliflower nose. He's got
what is it, gin blossom nose?
I guess, man. Yeah. He's got something.
No, he looks like homeboy from what is it? Sesame Street. What's that guy's name?
Snuffleupagus?
No, fucking. He doesn't. Like, he's from outer space and like.
Oh, from the Muppets, Gonzo.
Oh, is it Muppets?
Yeah,
Muppets. My bad, Gonzo.
Damn, bro.
Fucking.
It's all Jim Henson. I get it.
Well, yeah. Isn't Kermit the Frog? He's from Sesame Street, right?
Nah, he's a Muppet. He's from the Muppets.
Oh shit.
It's cool though. It's not easy being green.
When we cut that out, all right?
Nope.
All right. But that dude, yeah, Gonzo. He has like a Gonzo nose. So that's what his nickname should be, Diego Gonzo fucking Lima.
Right. But yeah, man.
Which they're both very nice people, by the way.
No, I'm sure. I'm just poking fun because why
no,
not?
No, yeah, yeah.
You know, I make fun of myself all the time. Go ahead. Make fun of me, Diego Lima.
Okay. He comes back at you, fucking just starts roasting you.
Yeah. He's at least I got a full head of hair.
How awesome would that be? I'm like, oh my god, they fucking listen to the podcast. I'm like, cool, right. Wow, he's one of the 50. Sweet, right. Lima brother.
It's more than. I love the number gets smaller and smaller. Like, no, way more than 50 people listening. Relax.
I prefer to shit on ourselves instead of pat ourselves on the back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those kind of people.
Anyway, that Jesus, knocking microphones over. That was a fun fight. It wasn't the best fight on the card, but, you know, I mean, I think it's a good way to open up the tournament, and certainly it's going to be one of the tougher fights for Lima in terms of just, like, it's going to be a long grind.
Yeah. He got arguably the, you know, second or third best in the whole tournament out of the way.
Yeah, yeah, and the other thing is he's more well-rounded than either of the two fighters in his bracket that are going to come up against him.
Who's he getting next? The winner of Daily Venom Page?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Well, obviously it's going to be Venom Page, right?
Like, I would imagine so.
I'm all in on him.
I'm just saying, Michael Venom Page is not as well-rounded as Douglas Lima.
I
know.
I'm excited as fuck for that fight. Only in the aspect of what is Lima going to do to answer that weird kind of flowy style, and how is he gonna, you know, pin, like, how is he gonna set up his strikes? Because Lima's not he's not a wrestler. He's not gonna go out there and try to take him down. He's gonna stand there. He's gonna strike with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, is he gonna be able to land that calf kick? Is he fast enough?
I mean, that's gonna be the thing. Can he land the kicks, and can he use the kicks to keep the distance? Fine, you know what I mean? So fight. it'll be an interesting fight. That's it'll be interesting, but you know, I'm gonna come back to that. I'm gonna come back to that matchup when we talk. Yeah. When we talk Musasi, Rory McDonald, I'll come back to that fight.
Who do we got next?
Next up, we have the old man bout of the year,
yeah.
Quentin Rampage Jackson versus Vanderlei the Axe Murderer Silva. Woo, that's exciting.
Boy is gonna do number five.
So I didn't watch the fights live. I watched them after the fact. Okay. But I had a couple of buddies who were at the fights, mm-hmm. and one of my friends says, sorry guys,
elevator music.
I didn't watch the fights live, but I had a couple buddies who were at the fights, and one of my friends sends me a text when Vanderlei comes out, and he was like, dude, Vanderlei coming out to Sandstorm live. Ooh, like, it kind of gave me the chills, you know? Yeah. Like, I never got to experience that,
yeah,
you know, live. So I would have.
It's kind of neat. I mean, like, you know, Bellator has their whole, like, they have, like, a screen and stuff they play before you come out, and they give you, like, a kind of, like, an entrance, kind of WWE-ish,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, they do this whole axe murderer kind of thing. I feel like that kind of cheapens it a little bit, because they use this, like, you know, kind of generic scream in it, and I didn't dig it. You know, I feel like it kind of killed the whole Sandstorm, you know, walkout buildup that he does.
Yeah, it should have just gone completely black, and then...
Yeah.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But I kind of liked it, and I didn't mind the screen. I like they show Axe Murder, and then like they show
the
his
graphics.
Face and the screen.
I just didn't like the music in the screen. I didn't like the scream. I feel like I wish they would have used his scream, his yell, his real, like, ah, you know what I mean? I think it just sounds better instead of just going, ah. I didn't do it.
I just got the weirdest text. All right. Yeah. Anyway, so that fight was, I think that fight was as advertised. It was exactly what we expected. It did not disappoint at all. It was exactly what you were looking for.
I loved it.
Right. I mean, it was kind of perfect. It was kind of perfect.
I was so nervous. Like I honestly, legitimately from the bottom of my heart thought Wanderlei Silva might die.
Yeah, I never worry that anyone would really die, but
he just looks so old, and I'm just like, his chin's gone, and you're fighting a man who has, you know, close to 300 pounds of just pure power behind him, you know, and I just envisioned what happened the last time they fought in the UFC was going to happen now, just with a lot more fucking force, and you're a lot older, and you might just be brain dead after that fight.
Yeah, my concern was that Rampage had gotten so fat that he had gotten too slow and couldn't land the counter shots to Wanderlei's looping punches, you know?
Which it kind of did seem like that at points, right?
Yeah, there were a couple times. And there were a couple times where they were both just thrown and missing. And right? That was kind of scary because you never know. Scary as fuck,
man. I was like, why would you guys... man, like I fucking loved it. I don't know. I think a lot of people are like, oh, fucking, why are these old people fighting? Talking shit. Fuck you, right? You guys complain about the Korshkov fucking Lima fight, but then you get this fight and you guys are complaining about this too. Go fuck yourself.
What do you want? I don't know. I don't know if I can't imagine anyone complaining about that fight. It was too good. It was too fun. Yeah. It was just too fun.
It was.
It was exactly what we hoped for.
It was exactly as we expected.
I love seeing Rampage go for some Thai knees on Wanderlei. Yeah. Like, bitch, I'm going to get you back for that knee. If you've never seen Wanderlei Silva's, I think it was their second fight.
Yep.
He knocks out Rampage with just this Muay Thai plume and knee to the face, mm-hmm. and Rampage legit goes through the ropes and out of the ring. It's so good. Yeah. It's so good. I mean,
scary.
As a Rampage fan, I was like, no. But as a, you know, like in hindsight, you're like, okay, that's all right.
Yeah, which is crazy too. Like his chin never like let up or anything after those two knockouts, you mm-hmm. know?
And you know what was fun about their rivalry was all the smack they talked to each other over the years. Mm-hmm. And you could see that these guys both respect each other. After the fight, they were both like, they were both cool. Like now they're older.
Act like they're going to fight
again. Yeah. Now they're older and they get it. But back in the day, man, when they were in Pride, Rampage was like making videos, talking shit, posting them online. Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
See, I wasn't really around for those days. So like I kind of get I got to see the actual result of it, but I didn't get to live the whole, you know, Pride going backstage. And interviewing.
Dude, there's this video and it's, I wish I could remember everything he said. There's one, the last thing he says is the best thing, but there's this video of Rampage. He's wearing the belt and he's hanging out. I think he's got like a cigarette behind his ear, which is so ridiculous. And he's making this video to Wanderlei and he's like, I go to the store in my Pride belt. Like, I pick up my kids from school in my Pride belt.
That's hilarious.
I fuck your mama in my Pride belt. He's like saying all this shit to Wanderlei. And it's so stupid, but it was so funny. And like back then, nobody did that. Nobody did that. Rampage was like changing the game. Yeah. Like so ahead of the game. It was so good, dude. It was so good.
Yeah. But I liked that fight. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too, man. I loved it too. And I love that after the fight, they were cool with each other. I love that they both pointed out that now we're 2-2.
Yeah.
Kind of got to have a fifth fight.
Yeah, and then I saw people shitting on that too. Like, oh, great, I'm going to do another one of those.
Yeah.
I would love to.
Exactly.
Yeah. Do it again.
I'll pay for that.
Yep. I would like to see them both maybe, I don't know, get a little bit more shape though.
Yeah.
Like let's do a catch weight like at 235.
Well, 235, Wanderlei didn't even weigh 230. He was 226 and some change.
But I'm saying like that will force Rampage to get in better shape and he's not as heavy. I think Wanderlei would come in probably like 210, 215. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, I guess.
I mean, I'm just, obviously, who fucking knows? I'm just throwing out shit. I don't know how they trained. I don't know what happened. I don't know if either of them either trained. I'm just saying. I would just like a little bit more tight, you know?
Yeah, or have it happen really soon so we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, okay. We could do that too. Whatever.
If nobody's buying DAZN, just be like, and by the way, we're gonna have Rampage Vandalay.
Yeah.
They're gonna be fighting in the stands.
Well, a lot of people are saying that they think that was Vanderlei's last walk. So,
yeah, probably.
I don't think so. I feel like he would have done a thing in the cage. I feel like he would have retired, like
maybe
set his gloves down. You know?
Maybe I wouldn't be surprised if they do have one more fight against him and Rampage. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah, me either.
And like. You know, like, I know it wouldn't happen, but it'd be cool if, like, they both swung on each other the whole time. It goes three rounds and it's a draw. I would love that. Kind of like the perfect ending to the perfect, like, rivalry, you know?
That'd be great.
I don't know. I loved it.
That'd be a fun fight. Crow Cop in Rampage.
Oh, hell yeah.
At heavyweight.
Yeah, but I think Crow Cop would tear through Rampage at this point because Crow Cop's been staying active. Yeah. He looks like he's still in pretty good shape. He's
on all the juice, yeah.
He's on all that juice for sure.
He has to come over to the States.
I don't know if they'd even let him fight here.
Fucking Rampage Fedor. There's a lot of stuff.
Tries to get through TSA and they're like, why do you have steroids that are filled with synthetic metals?
Imagine this. After Chell beats Fedor, Fedor Rampage. That's a fight that's possible.
Something.
Yeah.
Could watch that. But I feel like Fedor is too fast for Rampage. But
Rampage
maybe not.
Got that chin and he's, you know, he still hits hard. He can catch, I mean, Metrion, you know what I mean? These are things like where people are like, oh shit, you know? Yeah, they're old. But then you start to actually think about the matchup. You're like, okay, that does interest me. That does excite me a little bit, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Nostalgia, man. Fuck it. Let's have some fun, right?
Why not? Why not?
All right, let's do this main event.
All right, main event. Champion versus champion, Bellator Super Fight.
On the zone.
On the zone. Yeah. Gay guard, sweet and sassy Musasi. Going in there against Rory, the Canadian psycho McDonald.
As is the Red King.
Not to me, he's not.
I'm the king of all things red. When every time Lil Wayne goes su-woo, he's acknowledging me.
Right. Yeah. Look, everybody knows the king of all things red is Donald Trump. Let's not even fuck around.
What?
The red states, Donald Trump. Come on. That's a good joke.
I mean, all right, dude.
All right. I'm sure at least two people are laughing.
I mean, if you're into politics, comedy.
Yeah, well, comedy in general. It's a funny joke. It's a smart joke.
Yeah. You're like, who's Dennis Miller?
I'm not trying to be Dennis Miller. It was just.
But I'm saying like that's like a like he's
Bill Maher. Was it a Bill Maher kind of joke?
I feel like you just had to think too hard. All right. For it.
So, well, I mean, I didn't have to think about it.
I didn't
you
appreciate
said it,
it,
and I was like, oh, shit.
I feel like you killed the podcast with it.
I'm sorry.
I never do it again. Hey, all right. Hey, look at me. Never,
never. all right, hold on. We're gonna rewind. Zip, yip, 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 yip. The Red King, not anymore. Dethroned.
Yeah. Sure was.
Musasi put it on Rory McDonald.
Wasn't even competitive.
So let's just point out right now one thing Jake and I have always agreed on and have said many times: if you are an MMA fighter and you establish the jab, you're probably going to win your fight.
Yeah,
because MMA fighters don't jab enough. And what did Musasi do? Jabbed the shit out of him. And not only was he jabbing him, he's landing the jab and then throwing the straight right behind it and busting his face up.
Yeah, you could tell he was targeting on purpose Rory's nose. Yeah, that is Rory's fucking Achilles heel.
Yeah,
right there.
Don't kick him in the nuts. Punch him in the nose.
Hit him in the nose, man. I mean, it's been shattered. I think twice. Wonderboy and Rory, right? Robbie first, obviously, and then Wonderboy. Boom! It was softened up, broke it again. You know, he had the time off. And so when he comes back, everyone knows, like, okay, that's something you can hit. It's going to hurt him.
Yeah, it's like Ronda Rousey. Like, if you punch her, it's probably gonna be over. If you punch Rory in the nose, it's a bad thing.
Yeah, it almost seems like once he gets tapped in the nose, like, hard enough, it almost like he comes, it freezes him, right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's almost like it's a mental trigger. It's like, oh, shit, no, not, you know.
Well, everybody knows getting hit in the nose sucks.
It does.
Like, and you get hit in the nose and your eyes water and you have that there's that weird sensation because it's usually not on the bone. It's usually on the cartilage up front and that feels so weird.
It does.
Like,
your senses are tingling.
Yeah. It's like a weird, it makes this sound. It sounds weird in your head. It's not good. Nobody likes getting hit in the nose.
Yeah.
This is a pretty funny little one-off story. When I very first started dating my wife, we were both young, like 17 and 19. And, you know, I'd go over to her house and her dad was pretty strict. Like I couldn't be in the house if they weren't home, okay. You know?
Yeah.
And so they had a basketball hoop outside and stuff. So we were hanging out in front of the house and, there was a box of apples that her mom had brought from the farm that they have. Mm-hmm. And we were kind of just fucking around, you know, she tossed me an apple. I tossed an apple back at her. And then, there was one that was on the ground and I wasn't paying attention and she went down and she like hiked it to me and I didn't know it was coming. And I turned around and this apple hits me right in the nose, like bad, right in the nose. Yeah. And we had been dating for like 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like she was so embarrassed. It was super funny, but you know, it's kind of like a fond memory now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but that's but getting hit in the nose sucks.
It does, man. It's not fun. I fucking hate it.
But yeah, man, Gegard's jab looks so clean.
It's fast. It seemed like he was faster.
That's exactly what I said watching the fight. I was like, he's so much faster than Rory.
Now, I don't know if it was just because he was more relaxed than Rory, because if you look at Rory, Rory's hands were very high. Right? Mm-hmm. His hands aren't that high normally when he fights. They're a little bit lower down. You know, he kind of has a little bit more freedom when he's going against, you know, the 170ers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think, yeah, it was just, Gegard was just so relaxed. He just picked him apart. Literally seemed like he was doing whatever he wanted. And
yeah.
Then, you know,
yeah, yeah, yeah. He could do no wrong.
Rory goes for that fucking Imanari roll. And, you know, then it was basically a wrap from there.
Yeah.
Did you notice that Rory tapped?
Oh, I didn't notice that Rory tapped.
No, a lot of people are not picking that up. If you go back and watch Rory taps.
When he rolls over.
He rolls over and he starts tapping, and then you see Herb Dean step over him.
I didn't see that.
Go back and watch it. I'm telling everyone this. I tweeted about it because I knew instantly like people weren't going to catch it, so I made sure to tweet immediately as it happened. I was like, he fucking tapped. And, yeah, I mean, which is not, I don't want that to be like, oh, you know, Jake's saying don't, you know. Hey, you tap, whatever. You know yourself better than anyone else. Get yourself out of there. But, like, no knock to him for tapping. I just want people to realize how he already knew it was over.
He knew it was over. And people do not, I don't think people give enough credit to Musasi for how good his ground and pound is.
Dude, he's so fucking good.
He, he's not just throwing really hard ground and pound. He's throwing really accurate precise, and hard ground and pound. Exactly. People don't realize the precision strikes make a huge mm-hmm. difference. There's a reason Conor McGregor's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like precision. There's a reason that Jose Aldo was so good for so long, you know? Like these guys who are accurate strikers, Anderson Silva, mm-hmm. Michael Venom Page, like if you're super accurate, you have an advantage that other people don't have.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's a big deal. I mean, it's a big deal across all sports. I mean, like NFL quarterbacks, the guys who are the most accurate, they have successful careers, and accuracy makes a big difference in a lot of things. And in striking, it's huge. And Musasi was so accurate with his shots, and even with his ground and pound, he doesn't waste time just throwing shots at your arms. He's not going to do that. And it was so clean. So first round, he obviously, you know, it was a feeling out process of sorts. But come the second round, when Rory tried to shoot in and it went down and, you know, Gegard gets on top, I knew immediately that it was going to be over.
Yeah.
It was going to be over. But man, when he decided to pass Rory's guard,
I was gonna say,
holy shit.
I was going to say, he cut through his guard like butter.
Like, but that's exactly what I said while watching it. I was like, that was like a hot knife through butter. That was crazy.
I know this is going to sound crazy to everyone out there, but this is exactly how I saw was going to happen. Like, not the Imanari rub, but for some reason I saw Gegard getting on top of Rory and cutting through his guard like it was nothing and just pounding him out.
I just couldn't believe that after he gets to half guard, he gets to full mount as easy as he does. It was like, it was almost like...
He was like... it was crazy because everyone, we all
There's
thought
no
it was going to be
it.
This competitive kind of, it's going to go to the decision kind of a thing. Like, it was just all one-sided. And, you know, it's not a knock against Rory at all. I tweeted immediately. I was like, look, he is a man's man. To do what he did is fucking crazy. He didn't have to do that. He could have sat back. And then also to be like, oh, yeah, I'm also going to jump in this fucking tournament full of all the killers too.
Yeah.
Fuck it. You know?
Yeah. Big ups. Big ups to him. But... Gegard was bigger, stronger, and faster.
Of course.
He looked way stronger. He, you know, I mean, Rory's a big guy, but But at 185, he looked a little soft. Like,
yeah,
you know, I almost wonder if like he should have tried to cut a little bit, not cut, but like get bigger. Yeah, get a little bigger or something. But he can't get bigger because he has to make 170. Yeah. So he's kind of in a weird no man's land.
When I saw him walk to the cage, that was my thought. Was like, okay, I was thinking, I was expecting him to do like the GSP kind of, you know, bulk up kind of thing. But I was thinking, I was like, oh wait, he couldn't do that because he did it. So I feel like if he didn't commit to that tournament, maybe he could have been a little bit more prepared for this, like as far as
maybe,
you know, bulking up. I mean, I don't think it would have made a difference. I'm not saying it would have, but I'm just saying, like, you know, I feel like he could have done like little tweaks, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
well, that he just wasn't able.
Yeah, for sure. One of the problems with Rory is once he starts moving backwards, he has some trouble establishing his game in the cage. And they mentioned that during the fight, and it's true, because he's way better as a forward moving fighter, and it allows him to set up his takedowns, which are really important for him.
Yeah,
I just couldn't believe that he didn't even shoot for a takedown at all in the first round.
Yeah,
and the other thing is when you think about Musasi and you think about the fights that he's lost, like, when Musasi does something similar to Carlos Condit is when he gets taken down, he gets way comfortable on his back. Yeah. And you can never do that in MMA unless you are like bona fide, like certified BJJ killer. Mm-hmm. And you're going to, like, if all your subs that you've had in your fights have come off your back, sure, go for it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to go out on a limb and I'm going to say most guys who are submission experts, their wins don't come from arm bars off the bottom. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah, they're usually rear naked choke or arm triangle or, you know, some, you know, guillotine or something like that, that, you know, you got in a position where it worked out, you know? So, if I'm Rory, I would have definitely considered trying to shoot in for a takedown. Especially when you consider all the jabs he was eating.
Yeah, he tried once, but he didn't set it up. It was just kind of like, yeah, out in the open. He kind of just like went for his hips, and Gegard was too far away, and just, you know.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know, man. I just feel like Rory was a little bit more, I think he was more mind fucked than he was anticipating.
Yeah, I think four jabs in, he was like, oof, I don't like
yeah,
this.
Yeah, maybe this isn't a good idea.
Yeah, right. But you can't quit, right?
Again, hands off to the fucking dude. Again, he has all my respect. Musasi, too. Now, I'm going to throw this out there. The super fight to make now. Musasi, Ryan Bader.
They're not even close to the same weight.
185, 205? Yeah, I know, but Musasi has fought at 205. Has he not fought at 205?
Yeah, but Ryan Bader's like 250 pounds, man. Like, he's so big. Yeah, he's so big. I bet you, what's he going to weigh in at for his fight? 240, 235?
230
only? He's so big.
Yeah, but his legs aren't that big.
Is that the problem?
It's his upper body.
He looks like a fucking He-Man.
Yeah, everyone does. It's always all upper body. You gotta look at everyone's legs. All
right. Well, he's 230. What, I mean,
it's 205 though. Do Gegard has fought at 205? What do you think Gegard watched at 215?
No, I think if he fought at 205, he was walking around at like 207. He was like, he's like Dan Henderson.
Okay,
he's got to be, because
I think that's a good fight still. Because look, Gegard can strike. He also has. He's also very competent on the ground. He does have submissions.
Yeah.
Right? Does he have trouble with wrestlers? Oh, yeah, you could say that.
That fight freaks me out, man.
I think that's a good fight. I think it's a fun fight.
Maybe.
After Bader gets knocked out by Mitrion, which that's what I'm taking, right? I'm taking Mitrion to win that one. I think Gegard and Bader would be a good fight. I think it'd be a fun fight. Or you know, there's also Machida. Like, you know.
I liked his call out of Machida when he said,
he's going to beat up Lovato. And then he's going to hopefully fight Machida. And let's say the winner of Machida, Gegard, Bader. It makes sense. Bader wants to fight with Machida again after getting knocked out by him.
All right. Maybe. I don't know. That's a weird one for me. I don't know if I'm on board with that yet.
Really?
But I do like the call out of Machida from Gegard, where he says, if you go ahead and drug test Machida a whole bunch, and then I'll fight him.
Yeah.
Give him all the drug tests. Yeah, give him all the drug tests. I like that he doesn't fuck around. And then, you get a rare, big smile from him after the fight. That's weird.
Yeah.
You know?
It's very just fleeting, real quick.
Yeah. I like his, he's just got... He's got all the charisma, and people just didn't see it, and I hate that.
There's also going to be a lot of flack about what he says about women's MMA. He's not a
whatever.
He's not a fan of it.
Yeah, you know? But you know, you don't have to be.
You don't have to be. But you know, in today's fucking climate, you know, everyone's fucking a social justice warrior. Uh-huh. And it's like, you know, he's gonna get some flack for that.
Yeah, he'll get a little bit of flack, but I would rather him express his opinion and be honest than not. But I mean, there you can be like, hey man, I'm not into women's MMA, and then give valid reasons for it. Don't just say because I think it's stupid or because women shouldn't be fighting, they should be in the kitchen. You know, if you say something dumb like that, well, fuck you, man. Like, but if you think okay, well, like technique for technique, they're not quite as good as the upper echelon of men's fighters, and you know, there are a handful of women who are, but yeah, it's few and far between, and that makes for, you know, a small talent pool. And that's true. I get it.
But it doesn't matter. I mean, even if you do try to, you know, make that argument, there's always, you know,
yeah.
I mean, it's just, that's just the way it is. Those people on the far, far left or whatever, you know, whatever their political view is, doesn't matter. It's just, you know, people are going to find reasons to bitch.
Yeah, I'm just saying, sure.
Like, I know he just had like an interview with someone and people were trying to make that a big deal before the fight. And I,
they didn't make it that big of a deal because I didn't see too much about it.
Didn't hear about it. Yeah, I think he was really. I think it was like a James Lynch, like an interview or something.
Oh, one of those. Well, whatever. I love Gegard Mousasi.
Yep, I've been sold on him for a while. So
yeah, man.
Back when he knocked out Jacare.
Oh, that was so good. Well, I hope whoever he gets next, it's a fun fight. I think that's the fight he needed. He needed to get out there and have like a really sound win. And, you know, I think it's good for his confidence and good for the fans who are new to Mousasi.
Dare I say maybe the best middleweight in the world?
No, I think he's right there.
I think he can beat Whitaker.
Yeah. I think he could beat Whitaker. Yeah. Yeah, I would watch him fight any of those guys.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, you know, of course it's always the Bellator UFC fight. That's I mean, it's like, you know, people are calling for Woodley Tyron, or Tyron, whatever. What is it?
Tyron Woodley.
Yeah, everyone's saying that's not how you pronounce it. It's Tyron.
No.
Tyron.
Tyron. Tyron.
It's not Tyron.
That was somebody said that. And
it's not Tyrone because there's no E.
It's Tyron, isn't it? Tyron Woodley.
Tyron. I don't know. Tyranny? I don't know. We're terrible with names.
Well, you know, what are you going to do? Whatever, man.
We should change the name to fucking...
We suck at pronouncing names.
Did you see that fighter? Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
That one guy who fought that one dude.
There you go. That's a good name. That one guy who fought that one girl.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to keep it, you know. You got to have men and women.
Yeah, men and women.
That dude who fought that chick.
When that dude sparred with that girl.
Yeah, there you go. I was like, is this about domestic violence?
Yeah, totally. Well, that was the Bellator card. That was exciting. Next up is Mitrione Bader. And that's just like 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
So that'll be a fun one. You have Roy Nelson on that card. You have Baby Slice on that card. And then you have the fight of the night, Lawrence Larkin, Eric Silva on that card.
Yep. The alternates for the Grand Prix.
Mm-hmm. I'll watch that. I'm excited about that. That'll be a fun one.
I'm not excited about it.
You're not excited about Lawrence Larkin, Eric Silva?
Nah, Eric Silva's overrated.
It doesn't matter. That's still a fun fight. It's going to be a fun-ass fight.
I don't think so. I think Larkin goes out there.
And just mops him up, which is exactly what I would want to see. So I'm excited.
Yeah. Okay.
I fucking love Lawrence Larkin.
Yeah, me too. He's a cool dude.
Should I give out his phone number on the podcast?
You have his number?
Yeah.
Oh shit, let me text him. I'm like, hey man, the one time I was showering in the bathroom with Walker. We were using sinks. Never mind. There's a story. We ran into each other and we talked. You know, it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
He's like talking about fucking salads, and we're like, oh, that's cool, man. We're just, you know, doing a hobo shower.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, man, salads in New York are fucking expensive. It's like $40 for one at Applebee's. I was like, oh, shit. Wow. Sucks, man.
Oh, that's so good. Well, next weekend, though, big fights. UFC 229 next weekend.
Yeah.
That's the big one. That's Connor and, Nurmi.
Let's do a couple real quick picks, fight picks, and
picks on that. We'll do fight picks for we'll do it for the main card.
Yeah.
All right. So the main card breaks down like this: the curtain jerk for the card, Michelle Waterson, Felice Herrig. Who you got? The Karate Hottie or Felice Herrig?
Yeah, Karate Hottie.
it's a little bit tough for me because Felice Herrig has been on a like she's kind of turned it around for a minute there. She had a good little run, like 4 or 5 in a row before she lost to Karolina Kowalkiewicz.
Mm-hmm.
But Karate Hottie is good, and yeah, I don't know. I'll go with Felice Herrig just to counter you.
Okay, I got Waters by submission. All right,
by submission.
Submission.
Okay. Next.
Rear naked choke.
Okay. Rear naked choke. Next Next one. Alexander Volkov, former Bellator heavyweight champion, taking on Derek the Black Beast Lewis. That's a good fight.
I'm going to go Lewis.
You're going to go Lewis?
Yeah.
Wait.
Who's he fighting again?
Alexander Volkov.
Wait, is that tall guy?
That tall, yeah. That.
Oh, never mind. Changed my mind.
I was thinking
I was thinking of the Junior Dos Santos guy.
No, the guy who got,
you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Who just came over. He wasn't from Bellator. He was from World Series.
Yeah.
I got him.
Confused. No, not that guy.
Okay. Never mind. Yeah, I got homeboy.
You got Volkov?
I got, yeah.
All right, yeah. I agree. I think Alexander Volkov takes that one on experience alone. And, you know, but you never know. You can never count Derek Lewis out, man.
No, like, can't.
Like you said, that power, oof, it's there.
He's a black beast.
This is an interesting one. Is Ovince St. Preux uh-huh. and Dominic Reyes. And Dominic Reyes, he's 3-0 in the UFC, and he's got like one big win in LFA where he knocked out Jordan Powell with a head kick, I think it was.
Okay.
He's coming off of a knockout and a submission and a TKO. But hasn't really fought anyone quite on the level of OSP yet.
I don't think OSP is that good.
Well, it's not necessarily that he's that good. It's just that he has the experience advantage. You know, okay. he's fought bigger names, tougher fighters,
athletic and strong. I mean, just off of namesake, I have to go OSP because I'm gonna be on. I don't know who.
Yeah.
Right. You know.
Well. Dominic Reyes is, I think he's a hot up and comer, and I feel like.
Have you seen him fight?
Yeah.
Okay. See, I haven't.
I feel like his. I feel like this is one of those ones where it's like a new guy mm-hmm. where they're feeding him a guy who could beat him, but if you beat him,
this
it's
can be
good
a launching
you.
Pad, right?
Yeah, exactly. So I'll go with Reyes on this one.
I feel bad because I feel like you're taking all the underdogs.
No, I mean, you know, not necessarily.
I'm picking for. I'll let you pick.
Oh no, we're gonna pick the same guy in this next fight.
Okay, who we got?
We have Tony El Kukui Ferguson coming back.
Yeah,
and he's fighting Anthony Pretty Tony Pettis.
Oh yeah, Anthony Pettis.
Well, really? You're taking Anthony Pettis? I was like, what?
No, Pettis is washed up, man. Yeah, he had that one fight against Chiesa. Everyone's like, oh, Pettis is back. Nope. You guys are fucking stupid.
T-Ferg's been out for a minute, but I'm taking Tony Ferguson all day.
He's going to finish him.
If Pettis comes in and gets a win against Tony Ferguson, like...
Then I'm going to have to eat crow.
You know what I mean?
I'm like, yeah, okay, he is back.
Because, you know, he's got the win over Jim Miller, got the win over Chiesa, but he did lose to Dustin Poirier, and then he has a loss to Max Holloway. Like, you lost to two of the best guys? Like,
but, like, yeah, those were beatings, right? Those weren't competitive.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference.
And
Tony hits hard, and people forget that. That's what he used to do is knock everyone out. Everyone's thinking about his 10th plan in his jiu-jitsu. He's going to hurt Anthony Pettis.
And Anthony Pettis is 5-5 in his last 10 fights.
That's it, man. He's done.
It's kind of interesting. Bye-bye.
Get out of here with your fucking, your shapened eyebrows. Fuck off, dude. I'm tired of you.
You need to go back to your wax lady. And
yeah, go get your fucking eyebrows thread, dude. Bye.
Mm-hmm. So we both picked T-Ferg in that one. But you know, still that's a fun little matchup.
Yeah.
For your first fight back for Tony Ferguson, if you go in there and just destroy Anthony Pettis and be like, "Hey guys, I was supposed to fight for the title. What's going on?"
Yeah, right.
Like, I'll take the winner of Khabib and Connor. Unless it's Connor, and then he'll never fight anyone in the UFC ever again. So
disappears
sorry.
Again. Yeah.
And then the main event, we got Nurmi Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Connor. I don't give a fuck. I'll break the law, and you'll use it as a promo, McGregor.
So this is a tougher pick. I think a lot of people are.
This is the toughest pick.
Me personally, I am going to say. I gotta go Khabib.
I
have to.
I'm just shocked.
Just because, I mean, yeah, there's this whole like spacing in between thing, but I think with, I can't remember, is Khabib southpaw?
Like, you asked me this last time, and I totally forgot.
That's,
and you
that's
know
the
what?
Big thing.
I
for
watched
me.
A Khabib fight, and I totally didn't even pay attention to that.
I want to say he's southpaw, which is actually going to work against me in this pick, because in my mind, the reason why I'm picking him is the way that Connor stands in his stance with his leg out like the way he does. I just feel like it's very easy for Khabib to get that single leg, and that's Khabib's takedown. He likes single legs and body locks. So, I mean, I don't think he's stupid enough to just kind of, you know, charge in and get, you know, and get clipped. He's not going to, I don't know. I'm going Khabib. I have no reason other than I don't like Connor, and if he wins, I'm going to say this, there is no God.
Okay. I don't know if this is anything. Mm-hmm. Some random website says that Nurmi is a southpaw.
Okay. So, I mean, that kind of fucks me, but I still have, yeah. But you know what? Connor doesn't do well against other southpaws. So that's the thing. Like, Connor is not used to fighting other southpaws, because that was
the
problem.
Isn't Eddie Alvarez a southpaw?
Nope. No. Orthodox.
Orthodox?
Yep. That's the problem he had with Nate. Nate's a southpaw.
Mm. Well, you know, this is a tough one. This is a tough one. My problem with this fight is, like, there's a couple fights that Nurmagomedov has fought in where his takedowns would just look like shit, but he's so good that even his shittiest takedown gets people down.
Strong, yeah.
He's just super strong, right? But like, someone actually texted me this the other day, and or last night even, and they were like, boy, I watched that Michael Johnson Nurmi fight the other day, and I am nervous for Nurmi. And I was kind of thinking the same thing when I watched that fight, like, ugh, you fight wow. like this against Connor,
right?
That's not good. Yeah. But then, you know, the way you finish is so strong. It's hard to want to root against, it's hard to want to pick against him.
Yeah.
I just get like this sinking feeling in my stomach that
Connor's just going to switch
Connor's
him
off. Just going to fucking clip him.
Same thing.
And it's going to go, way faster than people think. But like you said at the press conference, Connor wasn't as like steadfast on I'm going to finish him in the first round or the second round kind of thing. He was like a little wishy-washy.
I think there's a little, yeah.
I think in the back of his mind, he's like, shit, this guy's the best wrestler I've ever faced, mm-hmm. you know? But this is the exact fight everybody who has been critical of Conor McGregor has wanted,
yep.
right?
Yep.
Everyone was like, this is the fight. He's never fought a guy this caliber in terms of wrestling mm-hmm. that ever, and I don't think anyone expected him to take a fight against him. I just don't think they thought this fight would go down.
Uh-uh.
So this is going to go a long way in shutting some people up if Connor wins. However, if Connor wins and he wins early, everyone's going to say it was a fluke. And I think that sucks for him because he went out there and did exactly what he told you he would do.
But you know what else, though? You know, everyone's like, this is the fight. I mean, is this really the fight that everyone wanted for Connor? Because in my mind, the perfect fight that I saw was like to really test Connor, Frankie Edgar. And I feel like he avoided Frankie Edgar the most because he's now fighting a guy who can also box and wrestle. He's only fought guys who have basically one-dimensional games. That's what Khabib is. He's a one-dimensional guy again. You know, but and then people will bring up, well, what about Chad Mendes? And short notice. Fuck you, right? You know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be really interesting. But
Khabib's my pick.
Khabib's your pick. I'm gonna go Connor. I as much as it pains me to say it.
I know, right? It makes me sick.
I know. I know. My buddy is gonna be there eighth row. Just texted me today. He'll be in the eighth row watching that one. So.
Oh, is that the?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. That explains it. Hey, man.
My newly wealthy buddy. Is gonna be there. So,
if he listens, congratulations, sir.
Yep.
Yeah.
Big congrats. Anyway, guys, I think that'll do it. And
we got football to watch, people.
We got football to watch. Make sure you hit us up on social media at Uber Smitty, at David Golden MMA. You know, get in there, say what's up, go give us a 5-star written review on iTunes. And if there's something you need us to talk about on the next podcast, let us know.
Aaron Pico, sell your jizz.